The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That ripping of cloth was a great commercial for Bethlehem's Day of Service in February. One of the things that will happen is it will roll bandages. Sheets are needed and people to tear the cloth and then turn them into bandages that will be used around the world. Well, back in October, I went to a costume party to celebrate the birthday of some friends. The friends live across the street from us, so several other neighbors decided that it would be fun to coordinate and follow a theme. We went as gangsters and slappers from the 1920s. We raided our closets to find beads and feathers and black stockings, and then we went to a costume shop to find long gloves and sequins, hoping to emulate a rebellious image from another time. This particular photo made me laugh when I remembered that this same trio of women had posed for a photo a year earlier on All Saints Sunday. Martin Luther once said, "We're all saints and sinners, simultaneously saint and sinner, made holy not because of how we live, but because of whose we are." My daughter is a new mom. Her days are filled with feeding her baby. You might say that art imitated life when she and her husband went as milk and cookie. There were dozens of costumes. People came as Taylor Swift and Travis, Anthony and Cleopatra, Barbie and Ken, the Music Man and Marion the Librarian, Batman and Robin, Willy Wonka, Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, a contestant on The Bachelor, and so many more. Behind almost all the costumes were stories that we knew, characters we recognized, time periods we identified, or metaphors that we understood. We laughed and delighted in each other's creativity and courage to embody a role that carried a meaning beyond us. Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, and it includes a character in costume, we might say. It's one that might not jump out to us, but he embodies a role that would have been recognized by Mark's audience. Today's reading, by the way, is Mark's introduction of Jesus. There are no infancy narratives, no stories about Jesus' birth and his young life, no genealogy to verify his authenticity, just John the Baptizer in the wilderness. John is the forerunner of Jesus. He's a messenger sent ahead to prepare the way for the one who is to come. He's the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Get ready. God's anointed one is coming. Make his paths straight." John sounds like a prophet, and he's dressed like one too. But it's not just any prophet. He wears a shirt of camel's hair, a hairy mantle, we might say, and a leather loincloth. Some recognize him as the prophet Elijah, a prophet from long before his own time, the prophet who is still welcome today at the Passover Seder. "Messiah is coming," he says. Like all prophets, John reads the ancient texts and reinterprets them, and like all prophets, He reminds people of ancient promises. He calls them to turn back to God. People come in droves to see him, to hear him, and to be baptized by him. He speaks to their hearts when he says, "Repent, turn back to God." The Greek word for repent is metanoia, and it means have a change of mind. We are resistant to change in so many ways, and yet people come to John. To repent is to fix a broken relationship and to do what's best to restore community. Faithful people know that all is not right in the world. All is not right with our relationships with one another, with creation, and with God. And so we acknowledge our sin, we make restitution when we can, and we rededicate ourselves to God's way in the world. We do this again and again. People from all over the region come out to the wilderness to see John. They walk to the edge of the shore and they set foot in the river. We confess that we are in bondage to sin, they say, and we cannot free ourselves. They walk out to the deep and John baptizes them. He dips and dunks them and sends them off to begin again. Remember, he says, there is another one who is more powerful than I, who is still to come. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Then one day, out of the blue, in the middle of things, Jesus comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. He walks into the water alongside all the others, and he's baptized by John. In that moment, the heavens are torn open, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove. Funny thing, Matthew and Luke tell the story, and they say that the heavens are opened, and the Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. That's the way that Mark was translated for a long time, too. But in Greek, as Matha said, the word is schizo, and it means that the heavens are torn open. They're ripped apart. It's easy to imagine that what has been opened can be closed, but not when it's been torn apart. It's hard, impossible to put it back together again. The Spirit enters into Jesus in his baptism, and it won't leave until the moment of his death when he takes his last breath. When in his final breath, he exhales the Spirit. In his baptism, before Jesus has done anything, God says to him, "I love you. You are my son, and I am so pleased with you." He hasn't done anything yet, but God says, "You are my child." I mentioned that my daughter and son-in-law are new parents. When baby Frere came home from the hospital, Anna and Nick took a lot of photos, live photos and short videos, and after a month, they chose one from every day and put it together in a little video and set it to music. The photos are very sweet, of course, but in the background, along with this soft music, you can hear their voices, their laughter, they're giggling with delight as they see this new baby. New baby euphoria, I've often called it. It's a love so sacred, so deep, that it touches the heart of God. They love him because he's their child. God says the same to us in our baptisms. Before we've done anything, whether we are baptized as an infant or a grown-up, God says, "I love you just because. It doesn't depend on you. You are my precious child." In baptism, we are named and claimed as a child of God. We're given the gift of the Spirit and forgiveness of sin. We're joined to the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we're sent out on a mission. But that's getting ahead of the story today. Already in these opening lines, we see that Jesus will turn things upside down. He doesn't go to Jerusalem, to the centers of power, to emerge on the world stage. He goes to John in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place outside our comfort zone, a place of testing, a place of learning. There, alongside all of us, Jesus receives a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The world will be hostile to him, and yet The Spirit of God has come upon him. The heavens are torn open, and we see the glory of God. That's it. The glory of God is revealed in Jesus, the Son. He'll be sent on a mission to recreate the world in the image of God's vision and vision of justice and peace. It'll be hard going against the grain at every turn, but in him, God's power will be known. We'll be invited to join him again and again. But for now, it's enough to know that the God who created the heavens and the earth, the whole universe, loves us and will be with us in this life as long as we have breath. Amen.